Today's message is going to continue on with what we've been talking about with the foundations. And let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll read the part there that deals with some of the foundation. Hebrews chapter 6 says in verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of a resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Well, He's permitted. So we're going to continue on. And today, we're continuing with the doctrine of baptisms. And you know, last week we talked about being baptized into Christ and water baptism and what they actually are and how that affects us. And so today we're going to continue on with baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let me preface it with some things that you may have heard and things that that other people may have taught. And I don't claim to have revelation of everything, but this one thing I know, Daddy's good, and Daddy gives us good gifts. And He loves us, and everything He gives us is a gift of love. And if you think about it, the more that a doctrine or a topic or a gift or whatever you want to call it is fought against, that should give you a hint that it must be an awesome, powerful thing that our Father wants us to know about, to believe in, and to have, and to operate in. And I can tell you, I love the Southern Baptist. I grew up in that church, and I got saved in a Southern Baptist church, and I'm thankful for them. But I didn't hear anything about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And that's not to say that they're bad people. I love them because they're part of the body of Christ. I love everyone that's a believer in Christ. But the thing is, there's more to Christianity than what some people have been exposed to. And so, as we're exposed to truth, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to lead us into all truth and show us things to come. So, like I've said many times in here, I don't want you to take anything that I say at face value and believe it. Go through the scriptures, and we're going to go through some scriptures today. I want you to go back through them, listen to the recording that will be placed online, and go back through these scriptures and pray about it yourself. Get your own revelation. Because then nobody can talk you out of it or take it away from you. Whenever it's yours and you got it from the Lord, then that's it. That's truth to you. And your belief system, which is conformed to the truth of God's Word for you personally, is what makes all the difference. Because people can actually die because the belief system is not based on truth. Did y'all know that? So believing the truth is very important. So, today, as we start into this, I want you to kind of get a background from the baptisms that we've been talking about. We talked about the definition of baptism is placing something into something else. That's the simplest definition I can think of. There's a lot of things that people have said about that, but I like simple. Amen. I can understand simple. So I keep it simple. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts 1, and we're going to read about this first baptism by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it. I'm understanding what you mean by it. I'm trying not to get too technical in describing that. In Acts chapter 1. And verse 4 says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authorship, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, what he was talking about here had to be pretty important, because he says, wait for it. Now, that doesn't mean today we have to wait for it, right? He was talking to them. Always know your context, because if you don't know what the context is, you take the con out of the text and you got a con, okay? So know the context of where he's talking about. So today we don't have to wait. Some people have waited for 20 years. Like, I'm waiting on God to baptize me. We don't have to wait anymore.
That's right.
Whenever Jesus ascended, he said, wait. And then on the day of Pentecost, he had a time and a place and a way that everything was going to happen, that he would reveal himself and his Father. And so it was all about prophecy. It was all about timing. Things have timing. Today, the timing is now. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now is the time. It's now. You know, that's God's timing too. He's always in the now. Isn't that awesome? He's not about tomorrow. Every time is now to him. Even eternity past and eternity forward, it's all now to our Heavenly Father. Isn't he awesome? Oh, man. So he's saying that you receive power. Now, that word in the Greek, dunamis, is miracle-working power. Miracle-working power. Things that in our ability as a human being, we cannot perform. Miracle-working power. Things that make us go tilt in our natural mind, to God is just normal. And that's the kind of power it says that we will receive whenever the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Now, as you look at some of these verses, I want you to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And some people think it's spooky, it's freaky, it's ooh, you know, you hear this weird music whenever people think about it in your head. There's nothing spooky about it. He's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He doesn't operate outside of what the Father and the Son do or say or think. They all are one. They're unified. And he says, we as believers, as we talked about before in John 17, we have become one as believers with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Where he ends and we begin, there is none. We're all one now in spirit. And so he's saying that I'm going to send you the promise of the Father to come and be with you. And then you're going to receive power after that, the baptism. Now, we said it's something being placed into something else. Now, didn't we receive whenever we believed the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, since they're one, into our spirit at that moment? So what would be an explanation of the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Well, he said he would come upon you. Now, the Holy Spirit was upon certain people in the Old Covenant, right? They didn't have born-again spirits, but it says that this Holy Spirit would come upon them, but he would also leave and come upon other people, things of that nature. Even King David said, don't take your spirit from me. So he would come. And that was for particular purposes, that he would come and he would give them supernatural power whenever he was upon them. I think that what he's talking about has to do with our flesh. And so the Holy Spirit would actually come out, and we're giving him whenever we say, please baptize me. I want the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I want everything that you are in me and through me. And we're giving him permission to come and upon us out of our spirit man and give us supernatural power in our flesh to do all these charisma gifts that it talks about in the scriptures. All these different gifts, it says that they're the working of the Holy Spirit through us, and it's through our flesh, either laying on of hands and transmitting power, or whether it be through the spoken word, because our vocal cords, our mouths, all this is involved in the transmission of what the Holy Spirit has gifted us with. Amen? So, we're going to read a few more scriptures that have to do with that. In Joel 2:28, flip back over there. I got mine marked so I didn't have to fumble too long. It says in Joel 2:28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see visions." So I see visions. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's all good, though, isn't it? Amen. And whenever we go back over in the New Testament, and let's see. Let's go to Acts 2:17. Let's see what that says. Acts 2:17, it quotes in here, in verse 16, it says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." And then it goes on with the whole passage. Now, he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. It means that anybody can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if they're a person, if they're a human being, all flesh. So it's for everyone. Now, is it such a time that it quit being for everyone? No. No. The giftings and promises of God are without repentance. So it is for today, and it didn't pass away with the early apostles. And until we go to see him face to face in glory, then they will be used, because why? It's the gifting is to bring glory and honor to Jesus. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. And he does his job well. And we're conduits, if that's what you want to call it, a conduits of his power and his wisdom, everything that he is to flow through us to bring honor and glory to Jesus, to magnify Jesus. That's his job. He doesn't take any credit for himself. Just like Jesus magnified the Father and glorified the Father. He came to show us who the Father truthfully is, our Abba Father, our Daddy God. To show us how awesome he is by demonstrating to us in a man's body our Heavenly Father. So that we didn't need to be afraid of him anymore. Is there awe? Is there reverence? Yes. But not being afraid of our Daddy, because he is love. Everything that he does or ever will do is all motivated by love. Period. Because love does not harm. Even if we're blessed, it doesn't mean at the expense of somebody else's blessing. Even if we have something happen to us, it's not at the expense of someone else. It's all good. Everything that he does. So he doesn't have to put anybody else down to raise anybody up. Like some people in the human area do. See, our Heavenly Father has put all this together for our good. And so whenever Jesus was here on earth, we got to see a picture of who our Heavenly Father was. And then as Jesus was preparing to go back to the Father, he had some statements that he made that said, I've got to prepare you because I'm getting ready to leave. And if you're like anybody else, it's, man, you can't leave us. In you is everything. You're our hope. How are we going to survive? What are we going to do? He said, well, I'm going to send you a comforter to take my place. And as he did that, he says that it's going to be one of the same kind. Just as me. I'm going to send to be with you and in you. And so there's a lot of things that are going on in this transaction that Jesus is talking about. But really, whenever you boil it down to it, he's duplicating himself. Jesus could only be in his physical body one place at one time. His word would go wherever he sent it. And his word was filled with power, true. But the thing is, if he went, then the Father would send the Holy Spirit to be not only in us, but upon us, the same to do the just like Jesus. In other words, Jesus was duplicating himself with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Don't go out trying to do things on your own in your own power. Wait, and then you'll be endued with power from on high to go and be Christ on the earth, each one of you. So he duplicated himself throughout the earth, and that hasn't stopped yet. He's still duplicating himself because he has made each one of us one with him. And so we're continuing on. He says, the works that I started, I want you to continue on with those things and complete the ministry that I have come on earth to do. I'm trusting you with this ministry. He's got great faith. Amen? He passed on the ministry that he started to us. He is a great man of faith. So, this baptism with the Holy Spirit is one of the most significant things that we can talk about today as far as doing the ministry, if that's what you want to call it. Because it's not our power, not our might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Well, that must have been the Lord. I hadn't thought about that scripture in a while. Okay. Another thing I want you to see we're talking about how the Holy Spirit came and, you know, why he came. Let's go over to Isaiah 28. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Okay. Isaiah 28, let's read 11 and 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue he shall speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. So this is a prophecy about speaking in tongues that the prophet Joel had been given, and he was telling people that this is a gift from God with stammering lips and another tongue. He was talking about praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, however you want to describe it. And at this particular time, it says that they would not hear. Now, let's go on over in the New Covenant and see that whenever people were saved and Paul laid hands on them, it says that they spoke in tongues and prophesied in a number of different places. And it said whenever they did this with the Gentiles, even the Gentiles received. And so it was a sign that says, oh, they got the same thing that we did, because they spoke in tongues too. So this is, God must be accepting the Gentiles too. He had to let the Jews know that, because they thought they were the only ones that were God's people at that time. So the Apostle Paul headed up everything there, and he says, as he went about, and they laid hands on people, and they spoke and they prophesied, and it glorified God, saying, hey, these are partners with us, these believers, they're the real deal. He's come upon them just like he did upon us. So they're part of the church now. They're part of God's family. And so we're one with them. They're part of us now. We can accept them. So that's one of the things that he did. And another thing we can look in, like Jude 20. It's a little bitty book. Where is it? Anybody remember? It's almost at the end, isn't it? Not far from it. Says But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Talks about building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. So it was edifying or building up is what part of it was, by sending the Holy Spirit with this gift of tongues that was always associated with it. Now, as you study, and I'm sure you've studied the charisma gifts in the past, these gifts, it says, as the Spirit wills. In other words, we can't just jump start everything and say, okay, I'm going to operate in this gift now and go on. It says, as the Spirit wills. Now, the Spirit may be in line with that. But this one gift that we're talking about, being able to speak in tongues, to pray in tongues, to talk in your heavenly prayer language, that is a gift that you can start and you can stop. It's always available. Always available. You can pray in tongues any time that you want to. And that's the will of God. He gave you that gift for a good reason. Now, there's a number of reasons that He gave us that gift, right? Can you think of any good reasons? Yeah, it was said that whenever we don't know what to pray for, it's many times, right? Mm-hmm. Now, whenever you think about it, prayer is awesome, right? Prayer is just talking with our Heavenly Father, communing. And it's a two-way conversation. Yeah. And praying in tongues, is there any difference? No. Just in the language, right? And who is instigating it? Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that says that He's the one that prays through us, but we have to cooperate. We get to cooperate with Him. He uses our vocal cords, our breath, our lips and mouth, all these things together. Now, is the mind associated with our spirit whenever we're praying in tongues? No. In fact, you can read the scripture. You can actually be at work. You can drive the car. You can do a lot of different things while you're praying in tongues. You can actually be thinking about other things and you're praying the whole time in tongues. Now, the neatest part about it, the demonic realm doesn't have a clue what you're saying either. Isn't that awesome? So, you think that might have something to do with the reason that speaking in tongues is so fought against in a lot of religious circles, even in Christianity? A lot of people say that, oh, that's of the devil. No. It was given by God. Amen. So there's nothing devilish about it. But whenever a person doesn't understand what somebody else is talking about, and they see angels going, shoo, going forth, and this person is talking in a language that they don't understand, they're wondering, what is all this going on? I'm in the dark here. I don't like that. I like to know what's going on. Many of us are that way. I'm kind of a person that used to be very logical as an engineer, as an investigator, and things like that. You know, A plus B equals C. I like things all in little boxes, and they need to stay in their own places, and you know, it just makes sense to me like that. Tongues doesn't. Tongues is outside of all of that. All I know is it works. And if He wants me to pray in a heavenly prayer language to accomplish His purposes, then fine. I'm for that. But this other little thing in here in your mind sometimes, oh, that's just gibberish. You know, who told you something so stupid is doing that? Why are you wasting your time? You know, you're even getting hoarse from it. You've been talking like that so long. And you don't even know what you're saying. You got to be crazy. Has anybody experienced that other than me? It's one of those things where, you know, if certain areas don't want you to be successful in anything. They will try to pull you down, to try to deflect it or distract you, to get your mind on something else. So think about that as you pray, that, well, other people have heard that too. And they kept on. It didn't discourage them. So, if you follow Paul's teachings pretty closely, he talks about mysteries that have been revealed. And it says, of course, in the scriptures that we pray in a mystery when we pray in tongues. It's things that are not readily available to everybody because we don't know what we're praying unless we have interpretation of it. And he says, I want you to ask, you know, for interpretation. And if the Lord's willing, you'll get it. But there are some things that need to be kept secret. Plans that are going on. You know, I guess I'll share this. I was praying one evening. It was actually at nighttime. I woke up and I was in a good sleep. And I just woke up and I was fully awake. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to pray. And I didn't know what to pray for, so I started praying in tongues. And I prayed in tongues for a while, and then it was like, okay, all right, that's enough. I'm satisfied. I feel good about it. And so I went on back to sleep. Next day, I woke up, and I thought about it, and I said, you know, that was weird. I said, Lord, can you tell me what I was praying about? He said, there was a person that I want you to pray for in China. And of course, their timetable is different from ours. And he says, as you were praying, he said, they were in a situation and I was able to send forth my angels to rescue them. And I said, man, could I really be hearing the truth on this, or did I make that up? I mean, that's pretty outlandish. And he says, and by the way, there was another person that wanted to be saved. I sent some people to go and share the gospel with them in another area of the world. I said, man, I had an international ministry back then. But you think about it now, a lot of people say, well, God's sovereign, he can do whatever he pleases. Yeah, and it pleases him to say, men, I have placed you in charge of the earth. I have given it to you. I'm the owner, but you're the one, you're the steward of it. And so I work through you. And so prayer is inviting him to move in the earth realm, because we are beings that are designed to operate and to be in control of, because God gave us the authority, control of the earth realm. So he needs permission to come in and do his thing on the earth. That's why Jesus came as a man. He came legally. And so Jesus left, but he says, you continue on with what I started. So we are designated as the ones who invite God to come in and work in the earth realm. He does everything legally and in order. So whenever we're praying in our natural mind, we look at symptoms, we look at cause and effect, we look at A plus B equals C. We're logical about things, but many times we can't see a problem that needs to be dealt with. All we see are the symptoms. So we might be praying about the symptoms, but we ignore the problem. Now the symptoms can go away, but as long as the problem is still there, the symptoms will keep coming back. God knows what the problem is, right? So, if we pray for that situation, because we don't know how we ought to pray many times, what the Scripture says, he says he sent us the Spirit so that the Spirit can pray through us to go in and zero in on that problem and release that person from the problem so they don't have the symptoms anymore. How many times have you been in a situation where you didn't know how to pray? I can raise both hands on that. The best thing you can do is just pray in tongues. This gift that he's given to us is one of the most powerful things that's ever been talked about in Scripture other than Jesus raising from the dead. That same power is on the inside of us, and that's what Jesus said. He said this same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. And you're releasing just a little bit of that power each time whenever you pray in tongues. It says that you're praying forth the perfect will of God. It says that you're thanking Him perfectly. It says that your spirit is praying. So your spirit has been filled up with His Spirit, so you're praying perfectly according to the will of God in every situation. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about that. Because see, it says that every time that you are praying in the perfect will of God, you can expect the answers to come forth from those prayers. So if His Spirit is praying through your spirit, through your mouth and your vocal cords, then you know that the answers to whatever it was that you prayed have been already said okay to. So be it. So whenever you don't know how to pray, that's the best way to pray. All right? Now I'm going to talk about something just a little bit different. Now, how many in here would like to have the revelation that the Apostle Paul had of everything that God is and has and does? Amen. Both hands on that for everybody, right? We all would like to have that. We wouldn't like to have his job of, you know, getting beaten everywhere he went, put in prison and things of that nature. But we want the revelation. Now, whenever you think about the revelations that the Apostle Paul had, it's awesome. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, let's start in verse 7. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Who've heard that scripture read and they stop right there? I have. Here's good news, verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So the Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to reveal to us the mysteries of the things of God. Everything that He has given to us, right? Let's go back to verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." I can tell that you're thinking now. That's good. He's talking about speaking here. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about mysteries. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, he said, "I speak in tongues more than you all," to the Corinthian church, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't in church, unless he was interpreting. But he says, "I'd rather speak five words in a church in my own tongue so that everybody can be edified and everybody to be convinced." Mm-hmm. But he turns around and says again, "I speak in tongues more than you all." So he's talking about personal edification, personal tongues. He was praying out his entire future. The Holy Spirit was praying through him, praying out his entire future in ministry. He was also preparing himself to receive the mysteries that had been hidden from the ages. But he was speaking it out. And I'm sure that he asked for interpretation. Are there some things that you just, over the years, you've really wanted some answers to, but you didn't know how to ask or whatever? You didn't even know if you were prepared to receive it. Praying in tongues is a way that you can receive from the Holy Spirit those things that have been mysteries from a lot of people, including ourselves. And this is a way that I believe that the Apostle Paul prepared himself to receive the revelation of all those mysteries that he talked about, that even the Apostle Peter said, man, some of these things that Paul says, pretty hard to understand. This dude is heavy. So today, as we look at our lives, are we really any different from the Apostle Paul? We can receive the same way that the Apostle Paul received. Everything in the New Covenant is given for our edification, for our building up. And Jude 20, you know, talks about edifying us, speaking in tongues, it builds us up. This is the rest. It means you're not trying to do it on your own. You're not trying to work it up. You're not trying to make things happen, but you're resting in Him. As a result of that, you're refreshed, knowing that your Abba Father's got this. You're not trying to do it. You're trusting in Him and Him alone. And you know that His power is going to flow through you. All you're doing is giving Him a willing channel to flow through. As you pray in tongues, you'll receive revelation. You'll receive wisdom. You'll receive everything that He is because you're open to it now. Amen? Yes. And you're not frazzled because you're not trying to do it on your own. You're in a state of mind of peace that only Jesus could give. You're at rest knowing that all the work has been done. You don't have to frazzle yourself trying to make things happen. And that you've been refreshed by it, knowing that His power is flowing through you and in you, and that does refresh you. And so the work of the ministry is something that comes as a natural process of who you are. And as He flows through you, you get the benefit, but also the people that you minister to are being ministered by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome the way He works? One last scripture, and we'll close it out. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Well, let's go to 16. It said, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And it says, do not quench the Spirit. And that kind of hits hard, doesn't it? How can we rejoice always? How can we pray without ceasing? How can we give thanks in everything? And how can we go about without quenching the Spirit? We just answered it. Because we can rejoice in knowing that our Papa has got this covered. And we're in tune with Him. We're on the same page. We're reading the same mail. We're hearing the same thing. We can pray without ceasing because even whenever you're at work, have you ever thought about it? At work, have you ever worried about something that you got in your mind and, you know, you did your job, but you had this thing going on in the back of your head all the time? Well, you can sit there and just, you know, you could do that quietly without anybody else even knowing about it. You can pray in the Spirit. If you could worry, you could pray in the Spirit instead, right? It'd have a lot more favorable results from it. How about this? In everything, give thanks. It didn't say for everything. It said in everything, you can give thanks. Why? Because you can see the end. You're not looking at where you are. Because your daddy has already delivered you. So you can look to the end and say, hey, this is just temporary, no big deal. Just like the Apostle Paul. He said, I went through all these things, and he listed all these things he went through. He said, but God delivered me from them all. So you can thank Him as is you're getting into it. Because you know the end is great. He delivered him, so He'll deliver you from them all. So you can thank the Lord for it. And don't quench the Spirit. As you're praying in tongues, you're in tune. You're not quenching the Spirit at all. You've got an open communication channel. And you're listening from your heart. And so anything He wants to say to you there in that mode, you're willing. You're listening attentively to hear how he wants to lead you. So you're in tune. So you're not going to quench the Spirit in that mode. So you're operating by the Spirit. You're not carnally acting anymore. Like, oh Lord, how am I going to figure this out? Oh, I got bills due. I got this coming against me. This person said that. I might get fired. Oh, so and so and so and so. No, you're actually focused with the solution. And people always want to know what they can do. You believe. You believe. And so as you believe, you've been given this gift to use. And, you know, we're approaching Labor Day next weekend. Did you know that it says labor to enter his rest? Labor to enter his rest. Now, if you tried praying in tongues for more than a few minutes, you probably labored because you had these things in your mind. Why waste your time? This is silly gibberish. Or you may have gotten hoarse. I don't know. The thing is, it's different. And sometimes, you know, we're at the fast food type mentality today. We wanted everything yesterday. And if we don't receive any instant results in 5 seconds, well, that didn't work. But it's just a state of being that we can be in tune with the Father, listening and praying, and we can go on about our everyday life. I'm talking to me too. I needed this reminder. I don't know about y'all, but I needed it. Because it's so powerful to think that He has given us this gift. That we can start, we can stop, but we get the benefit, but also the people around us get it. Everybody gets blessed by this gift. Amen? So this as this next week is approaching, Labor Day weekend, I want you to labor to enter His rest. This is the rest, this is refreshing. And pray in tongues. And if any of you in here haven't had the baptism with the Holy Spirit, it's real simple. Just ask Him and you'll receive. He said, but He hadn't come upon me. It's about just yielding your mouth, your vocal cords, your breath to Him. It says that the Spirit prays through you, but you yield to Him and allow it to happen. A lot of people think it's, I'll go ahead and say it, like you have no control over it, just like whenever you have an upset stomach and it comes out, that you can't stop it, it just comes out. It's not like that at all. Okay, you have control over this. You can start and stop it. So He doesn't overwhelm you and make things happen. You know, He's the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the paraclete is what it says in the Greek. That means He comes alongside. He's with you. And He's not going to act without you cooperating. So all we're doing is cooperating with Him. He doesn't pray for you. He prays through you. One would be on His own without your permission or you being part of it. The other way is you're both in agreement and you're cooperating with Him. And that's what He says works. Your spirit is praying out the perfect will of God for you, for your family, for your church, for everybody on earth, people that you have never even seen or met and probably will never ever see or even be introduced to. You don't really know. You know, I think about it. If I had been praying in tongues years ago, that I'd be standing up here in front of y'all today, I wouldn't have wanted to know about it. And I'm thankful He didn't tell me. Really. Because some of the things that we think about in the past that we're doing today, it's like, if I'd have known about it, it'd scare the wits out of me. I don't know what I'd have done. I think I'd probably run another 50 years away from God. But He is that good. So, would you agree with me from this point on that, you know, just try it. Just try it on for size. If anybody in here doesn't have the baptism yet, it's real simple. Get with one of us afterwards and we'll help you. And it's just an outpouring of His Spirit through our vocal cords. And it's a good thing because you're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. And the effects of the things that you pray out are awesome because it's God's perfect prayer coming out of your spirit that He has already said, this is my will. And so you know that all these things that you're praying about have already been done in Christ.